So to start off, when we started our presentation last year, we focused on the impact of technology across various industries and how technology has really fostered the growth and improvement and expansion of certain industries. Our focus was more about talking about technology in the way of it being the driver or the agent of change. The conversation was definitely more forward thinking and what the future might look like when merging technology with traditional business practices. We brought up Uber and its impact on transportation, drones and the future of logistics, smartphones versus landlines. These are just a few examples on technology-driven change that have occurred across various industries. Next slide. Now today, due to the current pandemic, technology is not just being talked about as a trend or how it can revolutionize the future. It is a basic necessity in getting business done. Even a lot of tech companies have been deemed essential businesses. So where the focus was last year on Uber, now we're talking about Zoom and WebEx. Where we focused on the gig economy last year, now we're talking about internet and broadband. Next slide. In the light of the shift, the conversation about the level of comfort of technology is not so much as moot as it is irrelevant. Even if it's just on a temporary basis, you must integrate technology in your practice today if you want to get stuff done, whether you like it or not. The pandemic has almost eliminated the idea of the old versus new way of doing things. Next slide. So before the pandemic, you could really try and figure out how you were going to get your CLE credit, whether or not you were going to attend a conference in person, how you were going to communicate with your clients or have your meetings, or even how your office was set up, whether or not you were going to be located downtown. Next slide. Now everything is pretty much done online, and there are limited to no options to carry out some of the tasks. Pretty much everything has to be done virtually. Next slide. So now let's look at the language for the duty of technology competence. In 2012, the American Bar Association revised their model rules in a comment 8 of rule 1.1. And as you can see, they added basically the language that we're referring to as the obligation of technology competence. Next slide. As of today, 38 states have adopted the model rule, of course, including Texas. Two states were added since our presentation last year, and that was South Carolina and Michigan. Next slide. Now, as you can see, the Texas rule is very similar to the ABA model rule. It was also, there was also an update to comment 8, a rule 1.01. And now that you know what the rule is, let's talk about how you can take steps to comply with it. Next slide. Well, the first thing you're already doing, which is attending a CLE on technology competence, so you have that done. Some other recommendations are to attend training sessions on your most commonly used programs. So if you need to learn more about Zoom or Word or Excel or those types of communications, to sign up to get training on that. Sit down with your clients operating in the technology space and learn what they do and how they do it. And so hopefully you have someone that's managing your technology, or you know a particular vendor that'd be willing to come in and to kind of do an overview of what your current technology program looks like so you can ask them questions. You can participate in coding or cybersecurity programs and courses. Even if you're not technically inclined, some of those courses give a good basic understanding of kind of what is happening with your information. You can join local non-technology organizations. And also, very important is to review your privacy policies that discuss the processing, storage, and transmission of data. Now, in addition to the tech competency requirement, there are several other ethical obligations that are potentially impacted by basically your use of technology. Are you meeting your duty to keep reasonably informed if you do not communicate or in email or text with your clients? What about your duty to communicate with them? How is your duty of oversight affected if you use bots to respond to legal inquiries over the internet? How do you keep your duty of confidentiality and safekeep of client property intact if client data is stored in the cloud is breached? Each lawyer should be reviewing these obligations with tech professionals in the light of their current technology practices to make sure they are meeting their clients' needs and to know how to respond if these obligations are breached. So the next phase of our discussion will be taken by Ms. Banks, and she will cover how to maintain your ethical obligations while operating in the cloud.
Thank you, Ms. Campbell. And thank you for the participants who are here today. In addition to the already mind-boggling obligations that we have as attorneys in today's times, COVID-19 has presented various complexities like operating in the cloud, in that we now have to face these challenges when dealing with our clients. So in this section, I will explain considerations that should be made by counsel when operating in the cloud and provide best practices for protecting your clients as they operate in the cloud. So I thought this picture was pretty funny because it's showing life as we used to do it in the past. I remember when I first began practicing, I would walk through employee areas and I would see sticky notes containing sensitive information and confidential information attached to their screens, similar to the picture that you see here. We no longer live in this world. Technology now demands that we store information in the cloud and know how to get to that information successfully.